I was asked by Daryl this week to speak tonight, and I really didn't know what I was going to speak on, and I prayed about it, and I really felt that God was telling me just to speak about what he's been teaching me over the past while. So that's what I'm going to share about, and hopefully tonight there'll be something that everyone can take from it, and hopefully you'll be encouraged by it. So you don't need me to tell you all that in life we go through struggles and storms and all sorts of bad things. Some of the things that we go through are like things that we can control. Some of the things are out of our control. Some of the things nobody ever knows about. They're like stuff that goes on inside you. And we can all, like, it's so easy then to get into the way of like not sharing that, not being open about it. And then very quickly you can kind of get pulled in by the struggles that you're going through. So what the Lord's been teaching me recently is about how to deal with the struggles that you have in your life. So I'm just going to share a wee bit about that. So I'm going to share a couple of the things that I struggle with. And these are kind of like ongoing things, but the Lord's been kind of helping to release me from some of the stuff that I'm going to share. So the first one is a bit about control. So for anybody who doesn't know me, I'm a teacher, and I am used to being in control every day because I plan the lessons. I say what's going to happen. This is the way that we're doing it because I've planned that. And in that can be good for me because I quite like being like that. But at the same time, then when it comes to like my own life, I struggle then to give everything over to God because I always like to hold on to some part of it. So I can give some of it or even most of it over to him, but there's always something that I end up holding back. And he's really, really been teaching me about how just to let go of those things and just to trust him in that. The second thing is a wee bit about, this is one that I struggle with maybe a little bit more, is like OCD. So I've got like tendencies to do with like cleaning, washing my hands, food, checking the dates on food. How long has that been out for? I'm not going to eat that in case I get sick. And this can like go on. And like it sounds kind of funny, but like actually it's quite a big thing for me because Stephen will tell you that actually living with me, that can be really, really difficult for him because I'll just give you one example of how like we almost fell out over something to do with so stupid to do with food. So I had left mince out to defrost and I didn't want to leave it out on the bench because I was afraid that it might go off, so I let it defrost in the fridge. And then by the time I got home from work, it hadn't defrosted properly, but Stephen had already decided that he'd be a really good husband and start making dinner anyway. So when I came into the house, the microwave was going and I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, oh, I'm defrosting the mince. And the thing was actually cooking in there. So when we took it out, it was like brown on the outside with steam and inside it was still frozen. So we had this whole, you can't eat that, it's half cooked. Steve said, my mum does this all the time, it'll be fine. I says, right, well, I'm phoning my mum. So got my mum on the phone and she said to me, well, Lisa, you know me, I would usually tell you to eat anything, but I don't even know if I would eat that. So that was rest assured for me because I was like, right, Steve, we're not doing it. He was like, I'm going to get my mum on the phone. So he rang, oh yeah, yeah, that's fine. I do that all the time. Just make sure you break through the bit in the middle and make sure it's defrosted the whole way through. It doesn't matter if the outside's starting to cook. So I was like, I am definitely not eating that. So anyway, in one example, and yeah, so those things kind of though overtake my mind in the way that I think and just letting that kind of dominate decisions that I make and just like my daily day-to-day routine. And the third one then is about value and having like very little self-value. So struggling to understand that Jesus loves me no matter what. Like it doesn't matter what I've done or what I continue to do that's wrong, but he still accepts me and loves me. And I have this thing where I think that I'm just not good enough, that I keep letting him down. I'm not reading enough, I'm not praying enough, and the list goes on. And I struggle with that from time to time. But the Lord's really been starting to release me from these different areas in my life. And what he's been teaching me is just about letting go of some of that stuff, like actually just giving it over to him so I don't have to worry about the dates on food and stuff, but actually just trusting and kind of forgetting about it. Because the more I think about some of these things, the more I actually turn myself into feeling sick. So that night that we had that, didn't have the mince, that actually went in the bin, and Stephen was like, that's such a waste of good mince, blah, blah, blah. I decided that I was just going to not eat anything. So I just went on and did my work. And I'm not joking, because I was so obsessed with thinking about that mince, like I actually was sick that night. Like I hadn't even eaten anything, but I had turned myself in my head so afraid of something that might make me sick that I actually wasn't well that night. And I rang my mum at midnight sitting on the bottom of the stairs like, Mom, I'm sick. And she says, Lisa, I told you not to eat the mince. I was like, I didn't even eat it. It's just in my head, I've like turned myself into thinking. And so it's not good. So it might seem funny, but actually it's something that I really do struggle with. But the Lord's really been teaching about letting go of these things and actually not letting them things shape me, because my thoughts in all of those different areas can start to shape me and they can start to be who I become. Like controlling, not like wanting to do stuff just in case. Like, I'm such a just in case person. Even if I pack for holidays, like I'll pack 10 extra outfits just in case we don't get home. Like, it's just stupid. Like, it's stupid. So I've really been trying to like let go. And living with Stephen helps with this because he's the opposite to me. Like, he doesn't think anything in a day in advance. I'm thinking about what time we're going tomorrow and like what we're going to wear and what the weather's going to be like, whether we need a coat or an umbrella. And he's just like, where are we going tomorrow? Like, you know, and so actually like God's blessed me with him to kind of help that balance out. But he's really been teaching me a lot about just letting those things go. Like, these things are really not that significant. And they might be to me because I struggle with this stuff, but he's really teaching me how just to let go of the struggles so that they don't shape me. And what he's been teaching me is that instead I need to fix my eyes on him because he's the goal, and I shouldn't be concerned about the things that are going on around me. But actually, when I focus on him, the other things lose their significance. Like, they're not that important anymore. Okay, those things that I've been struggling with or like worrying about, actually when I focus on Jesus and what he's done on the cross and like how much he's set me free, like that stuff doesn't matter anymore. So that's what he's really teaching me. And you know, you can tell with some of those things, they are ongoing. And I said to Stephen earlier, Stephen, do you think I'm getting better? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, you know, like the way I have like obsessions with this, that, and the other. And he was like, yeah, definitely think you are. He's like, Lisa, that's such a random question. He's like, why are you asking me that tonight? And I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. Okay, because he didn't know that I was going to share on it. But I think even he has started to see that definitely there's been such a lift. So the Lord's really been teaching me to take my eyes off the things that I'm dealing with daily and actually just to look up and actually just to trust in him and to give it over to him and to trust that he's going to see me through those things. So some verses that I want to share with you tonight are from Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. So this is Paul speaking, and it says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. And these verses just speak to me so much because they tell us, it actually says there, forget what lies behind. Forget what lies behind. We don't have to concern ourselves with things that have happened in our past that might actually continue to hold us back, or even things that are going on in our lives now. It says there, forget what lies behind, but instead strain forward to what lies ahead. You know, we can dwell so much on things that have gone past, but it's going to get us absolutely nowhere. The Lord's asking us to trust in him and to look forward to the plans and purposes that we may know or we may not know that he has for us in store. Because I really don't believe that we're going to get very far when we're constantly looking back over our shoulder. But he's teaching us here to look forward. Just as I was kind of planning for this week, I read this story just about a car. You know, if you think if you're driving a car and you're constantly looking in your rear view mirror, like, it's going to be like a recipe for absolute disaster, because you're definitely going to crash because you're missing what's coming ahead. You're so focused on the things that you've passed that don't matter now because they're gone, and you're going to crash. So when you're driving, you have to look forward. You have to look forward at what's coming your way. Yes, you look in your rear view mirror occasionally to make sure, like, to check what is behind. But and that really teaches me that you can look back to the mistakes or things that you've struggled with, but you need to look forward way, way more than you ever need to look back. And two words, whenever I was looking through that verse, that really stood out were straining and press on. So the teacher in me came out when I had to find the definition of these words. So the first one is straining. And the definition online that I found for this was a force, a part of one's body or oneself to make an unusually great effort. Okay, so that verse talks about straining forward to what lies ahead. So, you know, that's not always easy to do, but it says there that straining means to make an unusually great effort. So that's actually a part of us, that we actually have to make the unusually great effort to look ahead. It's not always easy to do that. Okay, I'm not saying that it's easy to do it, but I'm saying that we have to make a conscious decision to actually strain and look forward. And the other one that I looked up was press on. And it means to start or continue doing something in a determined way, often despite problems. To start or continue and do something in a determined way, I'm going to do this, often despite the problems. You know, and as Christians, we're not exempt and we're not immune from problems and struggles that come along. And I'm not standing here to try and say that. But what I am saying is that the Bible's teaching us there to look forward in a determined way, despite the problems that we might be going through. And it really challenged me, are we making an unusually great effort unusually great effort with our walk with Jesus? Are we making that determined decision to leave behind what has gone in the past and to actually strain forward and actually go for him far more? Or we're pressing on in a determined way despite the problems that we're going through. And you know, as I read that there, you know, about not looking back and looking forward towards this goal, it made me thinking about running. And like, you can look at me and, you know, you'll know that I'm not exactly a runner. But there's a few things that I was able to kind of get from the analogy of running a race that hopefully will be able to help with some of this. So, you know, if you take up running, you're going to be out of shape to start off with. But that doesn't mean you just give up and say, oh, I'm never going to be a good runner. It takes a wee bit of endurance. It takes a bit of determination. It takes a bit of time. It takes a bit of training to actually become a runner. And you're going to be out of shape. But if you push on through that, there's going to be better days that lie ahead whenever you start to get fitter. And it made me think about spiritually, sometimes we're out of shape, a bit unfit, not the way that we would like to be, not the way that we know we should be. But that takes endurance, it takes patience, it takes a wee bit of time to actually get to the stage where we're supposed spiritually fit. So it really teaches me that we can't give up when the times get tough, because if a runner always gave up every time they hit a tough part, I don't think there'd be any runners left in the whole country or the whole world, because they have to push on through. You actually have to make that unusually great effort to get over the tough times, the struggles. So actually reading and praying and actually spending more time with God and pushing through the tough times and trusting him in the struggles can help us to become spiritually more fit. The other thing that it made me think about was that there are distractions when they're running a race. So it could be the crowd, it could be like a sore knee, it could be like a blister or something. And if you start to focus on that, it starts to get you down. So when the troubles and trials come, if you start to dwell on them and look around and look down, well, like, of course you're going to stop running because your feet are sore. Of course you're going to be sweaty and tired. Like, you're going to want to give up. And, you know, God's teaching us that what we have to do is focus on the end goal. So for runners, the actual crossing that finish line is what they're working towards. It's getting the medal. It's getting to the end and getting a new personal best time or whatever it might be. And what we have to do is we have to focus on him. We have to focus on the end goal, even when we can't see it. So when a runner starts a marathon, well, they're not going to see the end goal for a while. And, you know, sometimes we can't see the end goal in the struggle that we're going through. Sometimes we can't see the end goal with where God's taking us. But we have to trust and we have to look forward. Otherwise, we're never going to get to the goal. And just since I'm talking about running, I'll have to share about the one time that I decided to run. Well, I should say my friends decided that we should run part of the marathon for the Belfast Marathon, the relay. They decided this would be a really good idea, so I thought this was great since we were going to go along and do it together. So this is when we lived in Belfast, and the four or five of us lived together, and we decided we would have to train for it, because none of us, well, a couple of them maybe would have, but a couple of us couldn't really run much too far and without a bit of training. So we started training around Belfast, started going out after uni and like running around the streets, and it was actually quite cool because it was a wee bit of crack, like, and you know, I was like, oh, I'm so tired, like, I don't want to do anymore, and they were like, come on, they see you can do it, like, you can do this, blah blah blah, and they really helped to encourage me and get me along. So I thought this was really, really great until marathon day came, and it really, really hit me that this is actually a relay, which means we all have to run a different part each. So while I had done all the training with the people that had kept me going through the whole time, I realised that for this part of the relay, I was actually going to have to do it on my own. And I started to think, like, goodness, can I even do this? I mean, I could do it whenever they kept telling me, I promise, the house that where we're going, it's only another mile, it's only one other mile. It actually turned out to be like another 4 miles later. They were dragging me around. And I thought, can I do this without the people there to encourage me? Can I do it, you know? And sometimes in our life, we kind of feel a bit lonely. We feel like we've maybe had a bit of encouragement, and then all of a sudden, that's taken away from our lives. We maybe feel like a wee bit that we're on a bit of our own. And whenever I started, I actually got the glory leg, the last one, the 4.6 miles to the end. And when I started running, I was all optimistic, you know, but it didn't take long for me to actually hit the kind of tough part. Obviously not a very good runner, but where I actually started to feel really tired. My feet started to get sore and started to wonder, like, how many miles had I run? I mean, it was only 4 miles I was doing. Surely that was four up by now. And I started to really think about, goodness, can I even do this? I'm really tired. Like, I've got no one there to spur me on. I mean, nobody would even know if I started to walk it, like, you know. Nobody even, like, here knows me. So I could start to walk. And then I started to think about why I was even doing it. And I started to think about the end goal, like how much better I would feel when I crossed the finish line whenever I actually had ran the whole bit. And I didn't have to tell my housemates, like, I actually let us down by walking, considering I didn't even have to do the longest part. So when I started to fix my eyes on the end goal and thinking that actually we'd train for this, and of course I could do it because I'd ran far longer before, and that actually the finish line was going to bring medals for us. It was going to bring hopefully a good time. I had the chip on my shoe, so I got to, like, clock in the time, so I had to move on to get that thing in so that we knew that we were actually getting a good time. And actually by the end, I started to think, like, when I cross that finish line, goodness, I can get home and get a shower. I can actually stop running. I can go out and get dinner. I can do whatever I can do. So I started to fix my eyes on thinking forward and thinking to the actual finish line. I know some of you probably think I'm just like the worst runner ever, like, and obviously I didn't really continue that. But once I fixed my eyes on the end goal, of course I could do it. Of course I could run the whole thing. And I found that as I got near the end, I actually wanted to sprint more and more. Like, I wanted to get faster. Like, I wanted just to keep on going until I got to the finish line. And that just taught me so much just about not dwelling on the situation that we're in, not focusing on the tough things, but keeping our eyes up and keeping our eyes ahead, and really just trusting in the Lord. So in our struggles, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Otherwise, we'd miss the amazing plans and purposes that he has for us. I'm just going to leave you with a few questions and then a last wee verse. Are we devoted to Jesus like a runner is to a race? Like, are we properly devoted? Are we going to know that when we hit the tough times that we're not going to give up or just like drop out? Are we going to actually push through? Are we going to make that conscious decision, the effort to make sure that we don't let the trials and the struggles that we go through stop us or hold us back? Because ultimately, that's, of course, what the devil wants. I mean, these things are thrown in our path to try, like, to try and test us. But what are we going to do about them? Are we going to strive and focus on Jesus? Are we fixing our eyes on him, or are we fixing our eyes on our struggles? Because if we fix our eyes on our struggles, we get into an awful mess. We start to dwell on them, and they start to shape us and who we are, and they start to determine the way that you act, the way that you think, and actually just your whole, like, well-being. So we need to actually take our eyes off off our struggles and focus on Jesus. Are we striving and are we straining to know him better? And do we believe in the end goal? Are we trusting in him even when we can't see that end goal? Are we really trusting him that he knows what's ahead for us, that he has a plan and purpose? And when we're children of him, he has such great plans for us that he wants us to see. But sometimes it takes that conscious effort on our behalf to reach them. And I found a wee verse in Hebrews that I think sums up what I've been trying to say so well. So it's Hebrews 12, verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne." And like, that just almost makes me feel embarrassed about some of the struggles that I have, because we're talking about a Jesus who came down to the earth and gave his life, and I'm thinking about meat that's going out of date. You know, like, that just really spoke to me. He is despised the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne. He's met the finish line and he's sitting there in all the glory. Sorry. And so I just really hope that there's been a challenge in that for everybody tonight, that hopefully we'll keep our eyes fixed on him. I don't even know why I'm crying. It's not sad. Like, that we'll just keep our eyes looking ahead and fixed on him, because Jesus has done it all and he's paid it all for us. And we don't have to do the rest except look up to him and trust on him.